3.
Take 3.
All right.
Action.
Hey, welcome to the Bright Side Podcast, where we talk comics and comic-inspired movies in the best possible light. No negativity here. There's plenty of that out there. Just trying to balance things out as best we can. And by we mean I'm DJ. And the other voice you'll hear is my good friend John. How you doing, John?
I am doing great. Thanks for asking.
If you're listening to this podcast, you may be our very first listener. Congratulations! A nice crisp high five to you, sir. Or ma'am. Oh, wait. Not ma'am. Never ma'am. My wife yelled at me last week, you don't use ma'am. She said miss is the way to go. So, a nice crisp high five to you, miss. We'll edit that. Yeah, first we like to thank the listeners. Thanks for listening, giving us a shot.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. We know there are a lot of choices out there and not a lot of time. So thanks for taking a chance on us, and we hope you like what you hear.
Yeah, we would have waited till the end to thank you guys, but, you know, there's no guarantee you'll still be here.
They'll be here.
Oh, okay. I like your positivity. All right, just to let everybody know also, this podcast is loaded. All of our podcasts are loaded with spoilers. This podcast isn't meant for people. It's not a review for you to go see the movie. This is meant for people that have seen the movie and either you don't like it and you want to hear somebody that does like it and make fun of them, or you really do like it and you want to hear people talk about the same kind of things you think. But there's tons of spoilers. Please be warned. You want to kind of explain what they're about to hear, or do you just want to jump in?
I think we could just jump in. They'll figure it out pretty quickly, I'm sure.
All right. Let's go see Solo.
All right. So, what'd you think of that one, man?
That was great. The Kessel Run. That was the first question that I had, and I thought I was going to be walking out of here talking about the Kessel Run, and that's everything that we look forward to. And pretty much by the end, the only reason it's the first thing I'm talking about is because of Darth Maul.
Yeah, you're right.
He pretty much took the focus off that Kessel Run.
Yeah, how was that for an unexpected surprise?
That's the definition of a surprise. Right. Yeah, I can't wait to see that again. I wasn't even sure that was him. I'm hearing Clone Wars people around us saying, "Oh yeah." I didn't follow those. So
yeah. Well, I did, and so you know, it still was a surprise for me to see him in the movie because I totally didn't expect that. But at least I did understand where he was coming from because I did watch Clone Wars. So. I knew that he was still alive, but then I had to kind of, I was trying to do that backwards math in my head and be like, well, where does this take place in relation to Clone Wars? And, but it all checks out. So
yeah, it
was... my mental math checks out. But you know, I'll tell you, for me, it was like right off the bat, the thing that got me with this is I will never get used to with these, quote unquote, non-saga movies, the fact that we don't get the, like, when I see A Long Time Ago and A Galaxy Far, Far Away pop up on the screen,
yeah,
I'm waiting for that music and I'm waiting for the episode whatever and I'm waiting for that crawl to start. And it's like I just sat there and it's like A Long Time Ago and A Galaxy Far, Far Away and I'm getting all tense and nothing happens. So
no payoff.
So that's the one thing I'm going to have to get used to in this. But I mean, once it got going and the movie started, I mean, I thought it was great. I loved it. To me, it felt like the most Star Wars movie I've seen since Star Wars, if that makes any sense. But
You know why?
It had that same kind of like, kind of carefree, like this is just a series of capers, you know, or adventures that are happening, and it's like, you know, I was a little skeptical with at first with Alden Ehrenreich, this guy that was playing Han, because, you know, when we see him in the movie, he's not that far removed from where we first see Harrison Ford in Star Wars. So, you know, age-wise, they're not that far away. So I'm like, I don't know how this guy's going to pull it off because he doesn't really look like Han Solo to me. You know, he's a couple of feet too short. Yeah. And but his mannerisms and his personality, I thought were spot on. And like I said, I thought he did fantastic. So
I thought there were scenes that he actually did look like him. He had the smirk,
right.
And some of the, I don't know if they did it with the lighting and the angles of the shots, but his face, I mean, you really could, you could see a resemblance, or I felt like I could see a resemblance to Harrison, a younger Harrison Ford than what we saw in Star Wars.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that's what I was saying. It's like, going into it, I was skeptical, but by the end of it, I'm sold. Like, to me, he was, you know, he was Han Solo. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So let me ask you this. The one thing that I did find a little bit far-fetched, I mean, you know, it's Star Wars, so it's all far-fetched, but the one thing that I thought was even more of a reach was, what's your last name? You don't have a last name? You're alone. Solo.
No, that's one of the, you know what that raised, like, you know what that raised to me?
What's that?
Is he a potential another Vergence in the Force, or whatever you call it?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, because technically we don't know who he is, right?
He has all the luck. You know his right. – we already know his future. We already know – I mean, it's – is there a potential there that – are they setting anything up for maybe the next Star Wars movie that with him and Leia creating Kylo Ren that maybe there's more power there? Than we even realize, because we still don't know where Han Solo came from.
Well, that's it. It, you know, it did kind of raise the question of who his lineage is. So yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like, you know, you can't really bring Han Solo back into the story. So I don't know why they would set that up just to kind of let it dangle. But I mean, it's all there, right? You don't know. So, I mean, the potential is there.
Because of Star Wars, the 1978 Star Wars, A New Hope,
right?
And
77, just so you don't get corrected a billion times by the people that listen to this.
All right, sorry. I was seven.
I know. As was I, sir.
Yeah. So, anyways, because of these movies, we got three there. Then there were three after that. There are three after that right now, but we got the prequels to that. It's right. Almost like when you go into a Star Wars movie, now Solo, we're like, oh, I could handle a prequel to this. Let's see what happened even before this to Han.
Right.
And it's like, I'm really looking forward to what happens next. Like, him and, what's her name? Kira. Is that the end of that?
It can't be.
I want to know that. I still want to know where, like, when the, like you said, where the last name came from, Solo. It's like, who are your people? And he says, right. I don't have people.
Right.
I don't have people. So there's you know, you come into this, and that's to your point earlier of this is the first movie that's since the original Star Wars that's carefree. This was carefree. We had no expectations. You didn't know. All you came into this with was a bunch of questions of, oh, it'll be neat to see how he meets Chewie or the Kessel Run and stuff like that. It's like, oh, are they going to answer these questions? But other than that, we had no real expectations. So for me, that's what made that so much fun.
Yeah, well, and then it was, you know, there's Easter eggs galore all throughout this whole movie, right?
Yeah.
Setting it up from the, you know, from the dice, you know.
Yeah, they open with that.
Right. I was like, and then, you know, I had to watch because I was thinking to myself, here he is in a boosted speeder, and he takes the time to take his dice out and put them on the, you know, on the mirror, the rearview mirror or whatever it is. It's like, this isn't your car, man. Are you going to grab those things when you're done? And sure enough, he does. Like, when he gets out of that thing, he grabs those dice and takes them with him. But just from, you know, even you know, like Tobias Beckett throwing him his blaster, and you know, there's just so many things that were set up, you know, in this movie that I just thought were, you know, cool little touches on
Chewie's
name, where all this stuff came from, right? Chewie.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say that every time.
I'm not gonna say that. So, and you know, and again, you know, I guess we have to touch on that too. Like, I mean, that was pretty. It was pretty cool the way they met. you know, it was a little bit different than some of the background stories they had talked about in the past, because I believe that he was originally supposed to have freed Chewie from the spice mines.
Right.
Kind of like the in the lore. But, you know, it didn't bother me at all, you know, when they threw him in that pit and said, oh, feed him to the beast, and out comes Chewie. It's like...
I didn't see that for... I don't know why I wasn't paying attention that close. I didn't see that coming. I was like, oh, I was thinking just some... It's Star Wars. It could be any beast.
Yeah, well, I didn't necessarily see it until the hairy leg kind of showed up, and I was like, that's definitely Chewie. And then, you know, they have this fight, and, you know, I'm watching it, and he's like... pulling his hair and biting him on the shoulder. It's like, you know.
Right, right.
I don't know. It was pretty cool. And just kind of the way that, you know, they break out and he's like, follow me. And then Chewie just starts running and Han's just like being dragged behind him on the chain.
How about the guards and being like, he hasn't eaten in a week. So
right.
Chewie eats people?
I guess, yeah. it looks like he's definitely a carnivore, right?
Oh.
You can't really call him a... now I'm losing my words. What's the word when people eat other people? I can't think of my words.
A cannibal.
Cannibal, right. So he's definitely not a cannibal because Han's not a Wookiee, but
right.
You know, he's definitely a meat eater, so
We know he likes porgs.
So. Well yeah. And then go ahead.
Okay. To another little callback to the original Star Wars. I don't know if you noticed this part. It was kind of small. Remember in Star Wars when he said, when a Wookiee gets mad, he'll rip your arms off?
Right, right.
Did you see him rip that guy's arms off?
Yeah. He says, like, yeah, that's the one uniform that would have fit me.
Yeah. But Chewie's standing there holding two arms.
Right.
I was like,
even just that.
It was so quick and subtle, but it was great. Right. You're like, he rips arms off.
Even that scene with Beckett beating him on the chessboard, and you know, beating Chewie and telling him, "Well, there's a lesson here. You know, you have to think.
You can't wipe the board off. It's a hologram."
Right. Right.
All of that stuff.
So that was cool. And I got to tell you, I mean, you know, I mean, you kind of knew all this stuff was going to happen, and there's only so many feels you can get when you watch a movie. But like when Chewie sat down next to him in the co-pilot seat on the Falcon for the first time, I'm not gonna lie, man.
Yeah.
You know, I got a little misty, you know, because I was like, man, that's pretty damn cool.
And you hear the Star Wars music come in strong, right, in the background. Right. It was just like, oh man, that'll get you.
He goes, 194 years old, you look great.
Yeah. You look amazing. So.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, also kind of going back to callbacks or Easter eggs, I don't know if you noticed this, but when they got to Kessel and they're coming off the ship and, you know, Lando is supposed to be the bodyguard for Kira, if you notice, he's wearing that skiff guard outfit is the same exact one he wears in Return of the Jedi when they go to rescue,
that
you know, basically when they go to rescue Han.
Harrison Ford was wearing it. I thought the same thing. That wasn't Lando, but it was the same. I thought the exact same thing because I thought it was Lando.
No, it was Lando because Han was frozen in carbonite in Return of the Jedi.
No, I know, but Harrison Ford was wearing it tonight. You see,
Ford wasn't in the movie.
Not Harrison Ford. I'm sorry. Woody Harrelson. Woody Harrelson. I got that.
Oh, you're right.
Woody Harrelson. Because I was thinking that was Lando. So Woody Harrelson's character there, Beckett.
Yeah, you're Beckett. Right. It was Beckett. For some reason, I flashed back to Lando, but
right. But that's what I costume. Did too. Yeah, yeah, it's the same costume from the.
But then you wonder. Where was it all this time? Right? Because
on the Falcon.
It had to be on the Falcon
with all his
right?
capes
just stowed away with right with all his capes.
Which
so Kira, many capes?
Kira's putting out a fire. They're like getting ready to die. He's like, "Oh, that's a collectible or whatever."
Right, it's custom made.
Custom made. It's a cape.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. There was so many cool things like that. How like L3 starting that like droid revolution.
Oh yeah, the distraction. Yeah, and the
I think I found my calling.
Yeah, and what do you call the things? The restricting bolts or whatever they call them.
Yeah, the restraining bolts.
Restraining bolts. She kept popping those off, and it's like, yeah. That's what R2 and C-3PO had.
Yeah. But I guess kind of go, you know, not to keep backtracking, but we touched on it, and then we went away from it as far as, like, where this thing goes from here, because, you know, the ending of this was obviously, you know, you have that whole big thing with Kira and Darth Maul and how, you know, they're going to be working closely together. But then while that's happening, Han's on his way to Tatooine to get, you know, to start getting involved with Jabba the Hutt. So,
right.
You know, we kind of know that, you know, when A New Hope starts and, you know, Han's in trouble with Jabba, you know, we assume that wasn't the first job that he did for him. We never again see Darth Maul or Kira. They're no longer part of the story. So something still happens in that, has to happen in that, like, 1 year time frame or so between Solo and A New Hope, and like, what is that story? Like, I've got to have that.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, exactly.
Like, I can't not know what happens with that. So, I hope they don't just leave that dangling, because, you know, inquiring minds want to know.
Yeah, exactly. I'd love to see that. I mean, I thought the movie did a great job of answering the questions that we had coming in, but raising new ones and piquing your interest in a, you know, whether they answer it in movie form or they answer it with, you know, I don't know.
It could come in the comics or somewhere else. I mean, because it's definitely more than one medium, but, you know, and who knows? Like, we know that there's rumors of, you know, Disney app original TV shows and things like that going on. So, you know, there's definitely a potential for some of this stuff to appear somewhere else. But to me, if they drop that and leave it hanging, it's a huge miss. Because
yeah, look, I mean, I think it'll draw our interest.
I mean, it feels like Han probably never sees her again, but there's still story there that I'd be willing to follow. You know,
right. And Star Wars does a really good job of telling their stories everywhere and keeping it all, you know, like with now I've got to go and watch the Clone Wars, you know, I mean, I'm really interested in seeing that now. And I, when it came out, I just didn't have the time, so I didn't get into it, but now, you know, definitely going back and watching
that. Yeah, it was actually really
that.
Good. I watched it. I didn't watch it while it was on either. I just kind of binged it all recently on Netflix, I think. And, yeah, I really enjoyed it. To me, again, the same thing going back to, you know, kind of like some of the loose ends that they left after Phantom Menace. I mean, that show just did a great job of, you know, taking all that stuff forward and tying up and answering a lot of questions. So,
yeah,
it's definitely worth the watch.
What'd you think of, Donald Glover? I thought he was awesome as Lando.
I mean, I did too. You know, again, same thing with, you know, with what you were saying with Alden Ehrenreich. I mean, there was a few moments there where, I mean, he could have been Billy Dee Williams. I mean, he kind of had that same swagger and the same smooth way of talking. And
they do seem shorter.
Yeah, well, they're both shorter.
Yeah.
I guess they got taller as they went along.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
But, yeah, I thought he was every bit Lando Calrissian, you know. I mean, I thought he did a really good job. And even some of the newer characters, I loved Woody Harrelson. And again, another one I was really skeptical of, because, I mean, I like Woody Harrelson, but I don't – Woody and Star Wars aren't always the first two things I put together.
Yeah, I was I was interested to see how that worked out. I thought he did a great job.
I did too. And Paul Bettany as
– oh, he was awesome.
What's his name? Doran Vox or something like that.
Dryden
something, yeah. I thought he did a great job.
Part of Crimson Dawn.
Yeah.
All I could think of is Asian Dawn from Die Hard.
Right.
I was like, Crimson Dawn.
Where's Hans Gruber?
Yeah. Where have I heard that? I was like, oh, yeah. Asian Dawn. But, yeah.
Where's Alan Rickman when you need him?
And they kept alluding to, like, you thought he was the leader all through the movie.
Right.
And then
at the end, you find out
he's not the leader.
Well, although he did say at one point that, you know, even he answers to, you know who I answer to,
that's what I mean. But you had no idea it would be Darth Maul.
No, no. But you kind of knew that there was somebody above him, but no idea, like you said, that it was going to be Darth Maul.
Yeah, this. I mean, and more questions with, what is it, Enfys Nest? Where, yeah. How did they, like, what do they become? Obviously, they become the Rebellion, but...
Right, and honestly, if you think about it, you know, Han basically sets up the Rebellion, right?
Exactly.
he bankrolls the Rebellion in the beginning. If it's not for him, none of this happens.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, it takes money to wage war, so...
And what's it? Lando's computer girlfriend there is in the
L3.
Yeah, she's in the Falcon for good.
Right.
She's the navigating computer. Where every time you see that, the rest of the Star Wars movies.
Right, now you always know that it was the droid that was having sex with Lando Calrissian.
Yeah,
but it works. Trust me.
Yeah, exactly. That was so great. How does that work? It works. Okay.
Yeah. And I tell you, my favorite part probably of all is. I have a really good feeling about this.
Yeah, the opposite.
Cause,
yeah.
Right, because it's like, you hear that in every single Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
That opposite was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that was great. It's going to be starting soon, but just to wrap up before we run in and see this again, getting back to what you said, how it was just a relaxing adventure compared to Infinity War and the expectations going into seeing that, I was nervous because I wanted that to do well. And then with Deadpool 2, the same idea. You're nervous going in because you got to live up to Deadpool 1. And it wasn't, right. And this one, it didn't have any of that. And you just went in going, whatever happens, happens. And it really was a lot of fun to just sit and relax and not have to worry. Like, is the franchise going to go kaputs?
Right. No, you're right. It was. Although, I mean, you know, Star Wars always carries the Star Wars legacy. So, I mean, there's always expectations. But yeah, I went into it with relatively low expectations and thinking, you know, hey, this isn't my Han Solo and I'm not sure what's going to go on here. And like I said, I'm a convert. I loved it. I'm definitely ready to see it again. So,
all right, let's head in. All sounds right. Good. It's about to start. Okay.
All right, so man, we sounded like a couple of Star Wars fanboys coming out of that movie.
Yeah, we did. And you know, that's why we started this podcast. I don't think that's a bad thing. Like when you said that, listening to it back, when Chewie sat down next to Han for the first time and you said, you know, you got all the feels there. You know, we're going to say that a lot. It's, that's what these movies are about. It's, you know, the feelings that you get. It's like for us, it's like, it's a lot of these times it's, you know, there are emotional parts to it. And that's why it's sometimes people say, oh, I don't like that movie. And it's like, well, I did because of this, or you did because of that,
you know. Yeah, you know, I mean, I agree completely. You know, when I go into these movies, I'm looking for something that's kind of gonna transport me back to when I was a kid, and you know, when I just loved going to the movies and just loved the excitement and the adventure and, you know, everything that was part of that experience. And you know, so many of these movies bring that back for me and make me feel like I'm 10 years old again. And to me, that's the joy of going to the movies. And that's what I love about these things. So,
yeah. Yeah. It's, and just to let everybody know, it's not a coincidence that, you know, we picked Solo. I told John, I'm like, we're trying to think of a good movie to start with, because the basis of this entire endeavor is to take something, to look at the bright side of things that maybe some people don't like as much. And Solo was one of those movies that people, it for whatever reason, whether it's, you know, Star Wars fatigue, flat out movie fatigue, because it came out at the same time or right after Infinity War and Deadpool and all that. But it didn't get great reviews, but we loved it. And part of the reason for me is the whole Star Wars universe. It's like, I love that. It's, 6 years old. I hadn't turned 7 yet, as you'll find in what you just heard. I screwed up the years. But yeah, I was 6 years old. It's, you know, the summer of 77. And my dad took me to Star Wars, and I just, ever since then, I love movies. I love the, believe it or not, the science behind the making of the movies. Probably didn't know that when I was 7, but the sound effects, everything. It just, I was just captured right then and there. So when we were trying to think of a movie that would be good, it was either this, you know, Solo, or the other one I thought of is Phantom Menace, and we'll get into that someday, I'm sure.
Right.
But that's why we picked Solo as the first one, because that was my first big movie that I saw as a kid, and built my own home theater. And every time I build a theater, the first movie I play is Star Wars: A New Hope. So I figured we'd start off with, can't start off with New Hope, because everybody likes that one.
Right. Well, yeah, again, not to get too deep into this, but same thing, you know. As a kid, there was things that I liked, of course. You know, I liked Star Trek. I liked the Super Friends and things like that on TV. But the first thing that really grabbed me that I just couldn't get out of my head was Star Wars. You know, I went to go see it. I was 7 years old. I'm a little bit older than you. And it just grabbed me as a kid like nothing ever had. And, you know, granted, I was only 7, so there wasn't a lot. But, I mean,
yeah, there was no internet.
Breathed, right. I lived and breathed and slept and played Star Wars for the next at least 7 years of my life, you know.
Still playing.
Yeah, still playing, but, I mean, I still collect Star Wars figures, so, I mean, I never got rid of that. But, I mean, nothing grabbed me like Star Wars has, so... You know, there's no better way to start this thing off than talking about a Star Wars movie. And, you know, unfortunately, like you said, not everybody loved this movie. And, you know, we're going to talk about it again a little bit later and try to figure out why. But for me, it was fantastic. I really loved it. So,
all right. Before that, let's do a little news.
Yeah, we got some news. All right, so we're going to start off with this week in comics, and it wasn't a huge week in comics this week, but there are a few notable things that we can talk about. This is DC Icons Month, where DC Comics is doing foil versions of all their major titles on their covers. So, you know, Batman, Superman, Justice League, all those things are having their covers all foil, and... they look fantastic, but what that has done is actually created a little bit of a rarity on their B covers that usually, for those that don't know, most of the DC comics have two covers every month. You'll have an A cover and a B cover. Most of the retailers ordered really heavy into the A covers this week, figuring that everybody was going to want the foil versions. And it created a little bit of a shortage on the B covers. And there are some pretty notable ones this week. So when you're out in your local comic book stores, you might want to keep your eye out for a couple of these. Notably, Red Hood and the Outlaws, issue number 27. The B cover for that features you know, a new costume change for Red Hood. And it's pretty sought after right now. This is probably the hot book of the week. It's selling upwards of $24 right now on eBay, so that's definitely one to keep your eye out for. In addition to that, the Suicide Squad number 47, also the B cover by Francesco Martina. That's a beautiful Harley Quinn cover, and it's selling for about $12 or so on
really?
eBay this week. Yeah, really cool cover. The Catwoman. Variant cover for Catwoman by Stanley Lau, goes by Art Germ on social media. His covers are always popular anyways. This has to be hands down the best comic book cover I have ever seen in
really?
48 years I've been collecting comics. I mean, it is just a beautiful, beautiful cover of Selina Kyle on that cover. And you know, again, don't get stuck by the foils, because these things are great. And, you know, it's only going for about $10 or so on eBay, because this is the one that retailers ordered up on, even with the foil covers. Most of us went pretty deep on the Catwoman because it was just such a stunning cover. But I definitely keep my eye out for those. Flipping over to the Marvel side, Marvel snuck one in on us this week, you know, with Venom number 7, and this might have had something to do with the Venom movie,
maybe,
you know, coming out this week. But there was actually an unannounced secret variant that Marvel snuck in on us. So Venom number 7, if you look at those covers, it's pretty subtle, but there's about 20% of the covers out there have this variant, where your normal cover has the UPC code on the left-hand side. The variant cover has the UPC code over on the right-hand side, and on the cover you have one of the symbiotes, actually the symbiote god, it was a new character. On the main cover, you just kind of see his face, but on the variant cover, he's got it's kind of his tongue sticking out as well. These things are also, this is going to rival the Red Hood really for the hot book this week, because it's also selling for in the $20+ range on eBay. Like I said, this was an unannounced variant, so I don't know that every retailer caught this and segregated it from the rest of their stock. So definitely something you want to be on the lookout for. If you could pick it up at your store at cover price for $3.99. And then kind of one last thing, just be on the lookout. This coming Saturday is Walking Dead Day. It is the 15th anniversary of The Walking Dead. So Image Comics is kind of celebrating with a bunch of blind bag variant covers. So these are covers that are sealed in black bags. You can't really see what they look like. All you can see on the bag is the issue number and the artist that's assigned to that issue. But snuck in there are some, you know, hand-drawn covers and autograph covers, and there's all kinds of things you might be able to find that you won't know until you open them up. So those go on sale Saturday. I expect most of them to be gone on Saturday, but after Saturday you'll be able to buy anything that's left over, but you won't be able to find them before then. So be on the lookout for Walking Dead Day on Saturday, and take a look at some of these variants in your local store this week. And that's what I've got for comics, DJ. What do you have for us?
Oh, pretty good week. I tweeted out, did you see that Kraven the Hunter tweet that I put out?
I did.
It's crazy. It's like, I tweeted out the article, but the gist of it is Spider-Man is gonna be in Kraven the Hunter movie. Or in some capacity, like, you know, just to show up in it or maybe not fight him, but because I think it's an origin story of Kraven the Hunter. And the funny part is in the article, it's like, it points out that Venom actually originated with Spider-Man, and they make a Venom movie with no Spider-Man, but Kraven didn't originate with Spider-Man, but like his origin story has nothing to do with Spider-Man. He was just a hunter. You don't need Spider-Man to tell the story of Kraven.
You know what I mean?
It's like, yes, he came into the universe that way because he wanted to hunt Spider-Man. It was a challenge to him. But for some reason, Spider-Man's going to be in that one, but he wasn't in the one that he was directly responsible for bringing in. I thought that was pretty interesting, and it is pretty cool because it does show that Sony is going to be integrating all of these. I think eventually Spider-Man will be in Venom's world. I think so.
I mean, Sony's definitely going forward with their Spider-Verse, even though technically Spider-Man hasn't been part of it.
Yeah.
Because they've announced some other, you know, a couple of other projects as well that revolve around his kind of ensemble of characters. So I can only imagine it's only going to be a matter of time before, you know, like Sony didn't give up the rights to Spider-Man. They just allowed Marvel to share them. So there's no way that they're not going to use that character to it, you know, to its fullest potential, you know, while they can. So
yeah, so that I thought was pretty interesting. But Daredevil season 3 on Netflix starts next Friday the 19th. Looking forward to that. DC Universe streaming service That's starting, Titans is starting this Friday. I haven't heard how they're releasing it. Have you heard anything on that? If they're doing one at a time, are they doing it all at once? Are we going to be able to binge this?
I have not. I know I'll be watching at least episode one on Friday.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not 100% sure if they're dropping the whole thing or if they're going to do it.
Yeah.
Like Hulu style, which seems to do theirs as like a weekly series. So I guess we'll find out on Friday.
Yeah. But CW is kicking things off. Flash started Tuesday night. I watched that getting back into getting the feels. That one was,
Yeah, I haven't watched that yet.
Yeah. So. It's emotional. It's really good start. That it's a fun show. They're more lighthearted show than Arrow. Arrow's a little darker. I like how their shows go though. It's like Flash is one, you know, kind of a different genre from Supergirl, from Arrow, and then Legends is just bonkers, which is kind of fun. But Supergirl actually starts Sunday night the 14th. Arrow starts Monday night the 15th. Legends doesn't start until the following week. It's a Monday night. And then of course they have their crossover this year. Can't wait for that. That's on December 9th, Monday, and then Sunday, December 9th, and then continues Monday to Tuesday. So it's a 3-night event. And of course this week we got to see first look of, Ruby Rose's Batwoman. So that was really cool.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so spot on. I couldn't believe I had to look twice to make sure it wasn't a drawing
or
a painting that somebody did of Batwoman because, you know, it looks great. I can't wait to see that.
The funny thing is the artist in me, when they released the image for the crossover this year, it was obviously stock footage of Arrow, Supergirl, and Flash. And in the background, they had the red, you know, bat signal almost like in the sky. And I thought it would have been cool when they did when they released the image of Batwoman, and instead of the red bat signal in the background, if they put like the arrow symbol or something in the sky, you know, just to link her to the Arrowverse. But I mean, it was still a pretty cool image. That's just me being nitpicky. I would have done a little something different there, but yeah, it was pretty cool. One other thing, November 6th, Superman in 4K. That's Superman from 1978. I think I got that year right, because I keep screwing years up. Yeah, I know. I'm really looking forward to that. Completely restored to 4K, Dolby Atmos surround sound. How are you a comic book fan and you don't own Superman? That movie's just... That goes up there as far as like when I was a kid, you know, you saw a man fly, and it's like,
right.
I didn't mean to this, but think about that for a second. When we were that age, do you remember all the specials on TV on the technology on how to make Christopher Reeves fly?
Yeah.
And like nowadays it's like, I could probably like, you know, turn this equipment off and make you fly on my computer. Like, you know, but back then it was like, oh, we do a green screen, and we're like, green screen, what's that? It's like, it was crazy back then. It's like, you know, and the last bit of news, John, have you heard of Steven Spielberg?
Might ring a bell.
Yeah. He's a pretty good director, right?
Yeah.
Kind of,
he's got a future in the business, I think.
Yeah. He's kind of a master of that less is more thing.
Right.
You know, when he released Jurassic Park, remember, like, all the commercials for it, they didn't show you any dinosaurs or anything. It was just Jurassic Park, and that's all they told you, and you were like, well, what's this? Right. And you had to go see it to see the dinosaurs. And then, of course, in Jaws, it was like 90% of the movie, there's no shark, and it's like, but, you know, I don't know if it's mechanical issues or he actually meant it that way, but whatever, created an atmosphere without anything. Well, you know what? DC is like, we're gonna release a movie and put a trailer out in December, or at least that's what it feels like. It's like, here we are with Aquaman, and they released a 5-minute trailer, and I was like, I got it on my phone the day it came out, and I was like, I started watching, and I was like, you know what, wait a minute, I'm going to stop this, go home, get a bag of popcorn and a soda, and sit down and watch it in my theater, and it was pretty good. Right. I actually liked it.
I stay away, man. I don't watch any of those things.
Really?
I don't watch trailers. I'll watch the first teaser trailer that they put out for something, and then I'm done. I avoid everything as much as I can until I go see the movie, because I want to be as fresh and spoiler-free as I can be. So I haven't watched it, and I won't watch it until December.
Oh, then I won't tell you about it then. I liked it. It had a chase scene in there. I'm not giving anything away to you there. I don't want to spoil the movie, but guess what? I bet there's a chase scene in it.
Every movie has a chase scene, so that's not saying much.
Yeah, even Tootsie.
Yeah.
So that's all I got.
Well, hey, man, I got one more thing. I don't know if you – I just was reading this right before we started. I don't know if you saw this, but they did finally announce a close date for the Disney and the Fox acquisition.
Oh, wow.
So if you didn't see that, nope. January 1st of 2019, that deal becomes official. So that means Marvel can start playing with almost all its toys again. There's still some rights things out there with Spider-Man and others. But, you know, they're going to get back the X-Men, Fantastic Four, all those characters. So,
wow.
It's not going to be soon enough to shoehorn anything into Avengers 4, but I bet you we start seeing some stuff pretty soon. So I was pretty excited to see that today.
I don't know. It's like in the comic books, in the Infinity War, the X-Men were involved, and right. You don't think that maybe they were planning that? There's a possibility a couple of X-Men show up.
I don't think so. I mean, as much as I'd love to see it, I mean, I don't think they were willing to take a chance, because, you know, this thing's closing months before it was rumored to.
Right.
You know, it was supposed to take upwards of 18 months, and it looks like it's going to get done sooner. So I don't think they'd play with that movie that's coming out in May with the potential of them not having that deal done.
Right.
You know, so. Yeah.
Hopeful. Wishful thinking.
I think that's wishful thinking, but I don't think it'll be long. As much as they say that, you know, they haven't been thinking about it, you know they've been thinking about it, right? There's no way they haven't. So there's definitely some behind-closed-door discussions already happening, waiting for this deal to be done. So like I said, that was I just read that right before we started, so it's, I guess, breaking news.
That's pretty cool.
But yeah.
That's cool. So. It's going to be fun. All right. You want to get into Solo?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
Take a look on the bright side. Bright side.
So, after we listened to ourselves back a few times, we obviously sound like fanboys. So, instead of rehashing all the fanboy talk and going into all the Easter eggs and stuff like that, and you can do that on YouTube. You can do that on the internet. There's tons of information. There's so many Easter eggs in this movie. You could spend hours on it. But what we noticed was there's actually a pretty good movie in here that we haven't heard a lot of people talk about. And that's kind of where we wanted to go with that.
All right, man. But before we get into all that, one more fanboy thing. Han shoots first.
Yep. We forgot. We were so excited about Darth Maul. We were so fanboyed out on that. We forgot that is pretty big news.
Right.
Seeing that. And I remember when it happened. I remember being like, yay! You know, but yeah. Okay. All right. That's enough fanboy stuff.
All right.
There's a checklist in this movie. There's no doubt about it. And they hit them all. And I mean, how do you make a Star Wars movie without a checklist that you know, because everybody knows these movies and you want to see that stuff. Right. And what I was noticing was that there's a lot of stuff that we didn't even know we wanted, or maybe not that we wanted, but we learned about it bunch of stuff, and one of them is like Han had a first love.
Right. Well, and I think the significance of that is more than what people give it credit for, because, you know, in any movie, you know, you always have a hero and you always have a love interest, and it'd be very easy to just chalk that up to, again, another checklist thing where, you know, you have a leading man, so you have to have a love interest. But the significance of that really is how it shaped everything about Han going forward that we know when we meet him later on in A New Hope. The way he is directly related to, you know, the outcome of this love story in Solo.
Well, how about the fact that by the end of this movie, you realize the two loves in his life are pretty much leaders of the opposite parties?
Yeah, that too, right?
You know, it's like you think about it. It's like he was, you know, his first love is being trained by Darth Maul. She's a villain, but then, you know, he ends up marrying and having a child that becomes a villain. But right. But he has a child with the leader of the resistance.
Right.
Well, and the resistance is what he started. Right. Yeah, he definitely has a type.
Right. He goes for strong, you know, for strong independent women. So
yeah. Either that, know, or any woman that happens to be on the Millennium Falcon.
That's true too, right? It's just like, well, you're here and I'm here, so let's make it happen.
Yeah, it's add something to the Star Wars universe for sure.
Right. Well, you know, and like I said, kind of just to touch back on what I said, you know, when you meet Han in A New Hope, he's definitely a jaded character. You know, he is not the hero. He's not out to save the day. You know, he's definitely, it's all about Han. You know, for Han, it's all about Han. But in Solo, you know, he is not that. I mean, he's optimistic. He's, you know, he keeps telling everybody that he's not the hero, but he is the hero in that movie. And, you know, he's always trying to do the right thing. And we'll touch on that a little bit more. But the reason why he becomes jaded is because of this first love. Because, you know, again, spoilers, I mean, she breaks his heart.
That's one of the things. We'll get to that in another part in a little bit. But there's more there. Kind of moving on from that, it's like we learned he's part of the Empire.
Yeah, I'm not sure if we knew that before.
I'm not sure either. I don't remember hearing anything that he was part of the Empire or anything like that.
We say we're fanboys, and a million people, well, if we were lucky, a million people would hear this, but, you know, a million people are going to write us in saying, we knew he was in the Empire, damn it.
Well, great. Let us know, because I didn't know. I didn't know he was part of the Empire.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was trained by the Empire to fly. And that was actually in one of the outtakes and the bonus features on the Blu-ray. They actually showed him when they pulled his wings when he got in trouble. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
It was a pretty cool scene. They show him trying to fly, and it's a little bit like Top Gun, where like they tell him he should have done one thing, and he's like, no, if you do this and I bank this way, I'd be able to do this. And they're like, nope, you're not following orders. And then they cut to,
I'm sorry, Tarkin, I'm buzzing the tower.
Yeah. It's like, well, they cut to him in the, you know, in the desert battle scene that he was in. But it was cut from the movie, but it was pretty cool. He was a better pilot than any TIE fighter pilot, as you see throughout the movies. They're not very good.
Well, yeah, they like to slam into asteroids and sides of, you know, trenches and things like that. So,
what do you think of Crimson Dawn and Darth Maul? Obviously, I'm not asking you about them in particular, but that kind of links Phantom Menace directly to A New Hope. Darth Maul was in Phantom Menace. Is Darth Maul even around by New Hope?
Yeah, well, that's one of the things we don't know, right? I mean, there's so many questions that get raised by the end of this movie, you know, with Darth Maul and with Kira, and with, you know, where does Han go from the end of this movie, because we know that he's on his way to Tatooine, you know, to go work for Jabba the Hutt. Even though they don't name him by name, we all know,
right?
You know, we all know where he's going. But what we don't know is the time frame between how long it takes him to get there and when A New Hope begins. Because what we do know is that we never see these characters again.
So far, right?
We haven't so far, right? I mean, they're, you know, we know Solo didn't do so well in the theater, so it's up in the air whether we get a Solo 2 or some kind of continuation of this story. But so far, anyway, we never see these guys again. We never see Kira. We never see Darth Maul. So we don't know if they're still around during the time of A New Hope.
Well,
with
Maul popping up here, there's nothing saying he doesn't pop up someplace else, whether it be the TV show that Jon Favreau's doing.
Well, yeah, we know that that's based on the Mandalorians,
right?
And Boba Fett, but again, that doesn't mean that these guys can't be part of that.
Well, that's what I mean. It's like we never thought we'd see Darth Maul in the Solo movie, and here we are. So I'm not saying Maul will pop up there, but something referencing back to this could answer some of these questions.
Well, I feel like, I mean, going into this, and I'm sure I read this somewhere, like Solo was not planned to be a standalone movie. There were supposed to be at least one more where I'm sure this stuff would have been addressed, but you know, the reality of the box office makes it sketchy whether we're going to get that sequel or not. So I'm just hoping that this isn't a dangling kind of plot point that we don't get a you know, kind of a finale for, because it definitely would be a shame if we don't find out, you know, the answers to these questions.
And that kind of leads me to the part where I'd like to talk about Solo compared to Rogue One. Because everything you're saying is like, oh, look at all of these questions. It's raising all these questions, which to me is what makes this movie it's one of the great things about this movie to me is that it's like, so Rogue One, very good movie, really good movie. It answered a lot of questions. Right. And by the end of the movie, it's like when that movie started, you knew the outcome of the movie. You knew where they were going. You just wanted to know how they got there, right? So all those questions were answered. Well, Solo, you wanted some questions answered, but in doing so, it created a bunch of new questions that makes you want to, you know, find something out, in whether it be in another Solo movie or other Star Wars endeavors, whatever, the TV shows, movies, whatever. Rogue One is, like I said, considered a good movie. And it's like, that's why I look at this movie. It's like, it was a different movie, but it did some different things.
Right. But the thing about Rogue One is, like, I look at Rogue One and they say it's a standalone Star Wars movie. But to me, it's not. Like, Rogue One is episode 3.5 to me, right? I mean, it's definitely in continuity with the saga, even though you don't have any of the Skywalkers, you don't really have any of the characters that you come to expect, there's a blueprint to that movie. There's definitely an end place where you have to get to before you get to A New Hope. And so while it did a good job of giving us a fresh and a completely original story, I mean, you knew where you were going, so you weren't really going to come out of it with a lot of questions. You know, you should know where you're at when you walk out of that movie. And, you know, you're right. I mean, it was a huge box office success. Everybody loved it. You come to Solo, and to some degree, you have the same thing in that you kind of know by the end where he ends up. Like, you know at the end he's going to end up in that cantina in Mos Eisley, but his whole life before that is a mystery. So
still is.
And it still is, right? We still don't have those questions because, like you said, it answered some questions, you know, because we got to see a little bit of the history. We know – I mean, we already knew how we got the Falcon, but we get to actually see him doing it, you know. I mean, we got to see him meet Chewie. So we got some answers to some of the questions we had, but you're right. I mean, it created so many more questions that, you know, we just don't have the answers to now.
Right. Like, I mean, for instance, does Han find Kira again at any point? Right. Here's one that we'll probably never know. Did Beckett, you know, Woody Harrelson's character, did Beckett know about Darth Maul all along? Because the more
he does,
the more I watch it, he keeps, like, it's almost like he's insinuating that he know, like, you don't know the whole story, Han.
I mean, at one point, Dryden Voss says, "You know who I work for." To Beckett. So, I mean, I think he does know.
Yeah.
Who he is now, whether he knows Darth Maul's history. I don't know. You know, does he know he was a Sith Lord or what have you? Or does he just know him as Darth Maul, the leader of Crimson Dawn? You know,
yeah.
We don't know, but I think he definitely knows he's not somebody to be trifled with or taken lightly.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, there's a lot of good questions, a lot of good directions, I think, that they could go for people like us that want to see this stuff. And, you know, they put it out, we'll enjoy it. Right. Oh, one other question is, remember in A New Hope, I made a few modifications myself, you know, bragging that he took care of the ship.
Right.
And yet he still hasn't put the escape pod back on it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, when I first saw the ship, I was like, something's different here. I'm not quite sure. I can't put my finger on it. But,
and then,
wait, it doesn't have a missing piece in the front of it.
Yeah. And I didn't notice that. It probably was like probably the fourth or fifth viewing that I realized, like, when he shot off the escape pod, where it came from, and like Lando going, "What'd you do that for?" And,
right.
But,
I don't think we ever knew, like, in my mind, I never assumed something was missing from there in the first place. I just assumed that was the design of the ship all along.
But now you find out that's where the escape pod goes, and then for the rest of the Millennium Falcon's existence to this day,
it has one.
You'd think that'd be an important piece.
Right. Well, the captain always goes down with his ship, I guess.
I guess. And everybody goes with him because they're not going anywhere else.
Right. But let me ask you this. If he doesn't have an escape pod, how does he jettison Jabba's cargo before the beginning of New Hope?
Because garbage? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because usually you fire those things off in your escape pod.
Right. But, yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah.
All right, I got one last question. Well, actually, a couple questions here. This is kind of a fun speculation thing.
Okay.
You think, what are the chances Obi-Wan Kenobi is Han's father?
I mean, it's Star Wars, so there's a chance of anything. But,
yeah. Well,
I don't know. Why? Tell me why you're thinking that.
There's a lot of intersections here. Han names his son Ben. Obviously, he knew Ben Kenobi, but he didn't know him very long. Knew him for all 20 minutes.
Yeah. He didn't know him long enough to name his kid after him, that's for sure.
Right. And Leia only knew him, never knew him, only knew him through his father. So it's through her father, because that's, she said she needed to get the message to him from her father. So Han was cut down and died. Just like Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan has a relationship with Tatooine going pretty far back. You know, he'd been there earlier when even around the time that Han might have been born.
In some of the stories you find out that he'd been there for years. Many years. Like almost from the end of episode 3.
Well, he definitely was there then. It's like they at the end of episode 3, they just flat out tell you, "I know a place. I'll take him to his family," because they were separating the twins. Right. So he knew he was going to Tatooine with his aunt and uncle.
Right, but the stories make it seem like he never left there. Like he was there that whole time. So,
but he was there earlier than that too, because that's where they found Anakin. Because that's where his mother was. That's where his mother died.
Yeah.
So that's where they took him from in the first place. Took Anakin.
Oh yeah, they've been all over that planet.
Right. And then is it just a coincidence that Obi-Wan got Luke and Han together? Like that's the one ship that of all the people there, it's, you know, and Obi-Wan says in that one that I don't believe in luck.
Right.
You know, Han saying, you know, like, ah, it's all just luck to me. And he's like, I don't believe in luck. And Han is a great pilot. He didn't get his training, as we said earlier, he didn't get his training from the Empire, because they're not very good pilots. He was better than them anyways. And all of the great Jedi are great pilots. So is there a potential, like I said in the... in our fanboy thing, I'm like, is he a virgin in the Force or whatever? But is it possible Obi-Wan's his father? That would be pretty cool.
I mean, it would be cool. Like I said, anything's possible. I still lean more towards Obi-Wan being Rey's father or grandfather, I guess. But you never know.
Yeah. I mean, no. Yeah. I just thought that would be pretty cool.
I mean, we don't know who his family is, but I guess. If Obi-Wan's his father, how does Han get to Corellia, you know, as a young kid? How does he grow up there? We don't know.
Well, because Obi-Wan had to go into hiding. Something happened to his mother. Obi-Wan has to go into hiding. He's trying to keep all of these things separate. They kept the twins separate. Now they got to keep Han separate. Han ends up someplace else. Maybe he's with his mother. I don't know. But
according to this movie, we don't know
anything anyways.
I'd say maybe Obi-Wan's just a lonely Jedi sailor in a port one day on Corellia and, has a couple of drinks, meets a girl, and, gets off. You never know,
But, yeah, I mean, any doubt you could answer with, you could answer the doubt. I could answer those questions. Like, oh, where was he? Oh, he was hiding out. Or he was this. Right. Or whatever. So, I mean, obviously it's a long shot. But that would be pretty cool. And then at the end of all this, one of the things I took away was at the end of A New Hope, Han Solo standing up on that stage, getting the medal, looking at everybody going, uh-huh, I started all this. Yep, that's me. I financed all this.
Yeah, right.
if all of these people only knew that this was all because of me, and a little bit of coaxium.
Yeah, you know? refined
coaxium. But yeah, that's I thought that was pretty cool how everything comes full circle like that.
Yeah, well, again, he is the father of the rebellion, even though he turns his back on it. For a while, he finds his way back to it. So,
all right. With all that said, how would you rank the movie?
So I'm going to give Solo a 100.7.
Seven. Yeah. All right. For those of you who don't know, which is everybody, our ranking system starts at 100 and goes to 101.
Because we have to be different.
Our absolute worst movie gets 100. We give it 100 points. It gets an A+. And then our best movie gets 101. And then every movie in the
Dalmatians?
Middle is... I don't rank Dalmatians. I'm talking these movies. That's not funny. But you give it 100.7?
Yeah, 100.7.
That's bold because, this is our first ranking, so it's our first movie. Every movie after this is going to be based off of Solo.
I think it's a high bar, man. I really liked it.
Okay.
I like this movie a lot. So I'm going to stand by my statement and say 100.7.
I'm going to go with 100.65. Yeah, I'm throwing in the half. I'm setting it up.
Throwing in the half. Yeah. 0.65. You know that rounds up to 7, right?
Yeah. I really, really did like it. And as we rank more movies, I'll be able to tell you, you'll see why and stuff like that. But, I just didn't think it was a 7, but I definitely, it's, but again, Like, we can't stress enough. We love these movies. But obviously, right. You're going to love movies more than other movies. But yeah, I give it a 100.65.
All right.
So that's our that was our first issue. Issue number one of the Bright Side podcast.
So what did you guys think? Let us know in the comments or find us on the interwebs at facebook.com/brightsidechat.
Or you can tweet us at brightside_chat or email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. And also tell us where you heard about us. Because we really like to know how the word's getting spread, if it's getting spread, and hopefully it is. let us know what you heard about us. And you can also find me on Twitter at DJBrig17 as well.
Yeah, and you can tweet me at Arkham Comics. That's ARKHAMCOMIX. And you can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/ArkhamComicsAndGames.
Should I give my phone number?
No.
Oh, okay, good.
You give your shoe size and...
Yeah, exactly. All right. That's it for this week. Next week, we're gonna tackle another one. Thor, The Dark World.
Spoilers, it won't get 100.7.
Yeah. Maybe not from you. All right. Hopefully you guys are back next week. See you then. Thanks.
Bye.
Hey, Fred.
Well, actually, we don't know that because we haven't seen that movie yet, DJ. Oh, yes, we have.
I was going to say, yeah, we have.
Yeah, you might have to edit that out.
Yeah, well,
look up in the sky, not down at the ground. The movies aren't the same, and this Joker's a clown. Bringing heroes to life, and you tear them all down. The good guys always win when we take a look at the bright side, bright side.